Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you and worship you for the magnificent book, the Word of God, that we call an owner's manual. This wonderful book, this owner's manual that you wrote to us, telling us what we can do, cannot do, what we should do and should not do. And it's written to your children. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for this magnificent book. Help us, Father, as we read it and study it, may you reveal to us the truths of the Word of God, so we may hide these mighty words in our heart, so we will not sin against you. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name, to walk holy before you in all that we do. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I am so grateful that you give us this magnificent book, and I'm glad that I have had the privilege to live in a wonderful country where I can read this book and study it. Now then, if all of us people that are listening on the radio and myself, if we had any idea how wonderful this book is, we would read this book more often. This book, the Word of God, has totally, completely changed my life forever. I don't mind telling you, it is the most powerful, awesome book in the world, and it does exactly what it says it will do. It is a great book. This book will bring long life to you. It will bring health to all your flesh. It will teach you everything you need to do and everything you need to know for long life and health and godliness in the process. It's all in this book. And this is the only book in the world you can find this in. You can't find it in any other religion in the world. Nobody has the answer except Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. So this is a wonderful book. But anyway, as I have read this, I'm going to tell you that there is a 1 Timothy 6:12 talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Well, as I read that, that's in, that you may lay hold to eternal life. You know, as I read that when Paul was writing to Timothy, it really didn't just jump off the page at me the first time through. But as I read that a few times, I began to think, what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? Now, as I read through the Word of God, I come to realize that is the only fight that Paul told us to fight. Now then, as Christians, we can greatly benefit by understanding who we are in Christ. Most of us don't have a clue who we are in Christ. We have no knowledge of what this magnificent book says. But when you get a hold of what this book says that you are and what you can do in the name of Jesus, when you really begin to believe this, it will totally, completely change your life. Now, we as Christians have suffered many things. And the reason we suffer most of these things is all because we do not know what God has provided for us in Christ. I mean, I stand amazed at how little I knew just 20 years ago about this book, although I'd been reading and studying it for many years, but I still knew so little. Well, today I know still very little, but I know enough right now to be able to walk in divine health for the last 20 years. Now, that's a wonderful place to go, to be able to call people back from, basically call them back from the dead, get people healed, saved, and everything else. But this is what's available for the child of God. The Lord himself has completely defeated the forces of darkness and given you and me all power and authority over the devil, and we just don't know it. These promises are so awesome. Now then, I'm going to tell you that I used to pray for lots of things, and I got virtually no answers. And I now realize why. What most of us are praying for has already been given to us by what Jesus did on the cross. We just don't know it. I didn't know it. I was praying and asking God to give me things, and it never came to pass. And then I realized one day, as I'm going through the scriptures, I thought, hey, what I've been praying for right here has already been given to me. All I need to do is act on it. And I thought, wow, that can't be that simple. But it is that simple. So the thing about it is, Most of us just don't know. I didn't know, and that's been my standard reaction to the people. As I minister to people, today we as Christians have not read our owner's manual, and we do not have a clue what we can do or who we are in Christ. Now then, if this old fellow, the devil, the old dragon, old Satan, if he can hold you in the arena of reason, he will win every time. But if you will hold him in the arena of faith, you will win every time. Now, it just comes down to the point. Who are you going to trust, the Word of God or the devil? Well, let me tell you, most of us are just like I was. Most of the years of my life, I believed my symptoms and the enemy and not what the Word of God says. But now that I'm beginning to develop faith, it makes me wonder, my goodness gracious alive, why did I not believe these things before? Now then, we need to know what kind of a fight we're in and how to fight the fight. Now then, the only fight we are called to fight is laid out in 1 Timothy 6:12. And Paul's telling Timothy there that we are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to lay hold of eternal life. Now then, if that's the only fight we're supposed to fight, then I wonder what kind of weapons the Lord has given us to fight this fight of faith with. Well, God has provided a full arsenal for all of us, for all of His people, to be able to win against the devil. Now then, if you don't go out and study, you don't get this hidden in your heart, the devil will be able to deceive you and beat you real easy until you learn he is the author of stealing, killing, destroying, death, sickness, and disease, until you learn he is the author of all those things. Whenever sickness or something or pain or something comes upon you, you'll just back off and receive it and go to a doctor instead of getting rid of it. In fact, just last night, there was a man called me about, I think it was about 6 o'clock. And he said, I have a migraine headache, Thurman. I've been suffering with this thing all day. I said, brother, you got your sins all confessed? And he said, I do. I said, okay, confess your sin of unbelief. And so I told him, I said, now then, I'm going to demand that that beast get out of you. And he has to go because Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, the Word of God says, Jesus is speaking. He said, behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that the evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, you stop and meditate on that. How much power is given to you and me as children of God? All. So why don't we act on it? So I did. I took that scripture. I acted on it for this man. I commanded that spirit of pain to get his hands off of him and leave him and never return in the name of Jesus. And we got through praying the prayer. The guy said, goodness gracious, I wish I'd have called you earlier. He said, I've suffered all day with that migraine headache. And he said, already, just when you spoke it, it's already gone. Yeah. All you got to do is know that's a spirit of pain and take the Word of God and drive him away. That's all it takes. You know, you need to be walking holy before God now. You don't want to be living in any kind of sin. You want to be holy before the Lord. You want to be going to church and tithing and doing all those wonderful things that Jesus told you to do. And when you can do those things, then the Lord will, you know, he absolutely let you walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Now then, as the Lord has absolutely provided this full arsenal for his people to be able to win against the devil every time. Now, the book is just full of promises. I mean, the Word of God is full of magnificent, wonderful promises for telling us what we can do and cannot do. And most people just won't believe. Well, praise God. Let's start believing. I want to see the Lord do some wonderful things. Now then, we fight all kinds of fights except the one the Lord told us to fight. We go against each other in all kinds of ways. Now, it's amazing how we do that. Now, if we are supposed to fight this good fight of faith that 1 Timothy 6:12 talks about, then evidently there must be enemies or at least some kind of a hindrance to, faith. Faith must not be simple. Faith must have obstacles to overcome. If it did not, everybody would be walking in faith. But you see today in the church, so few people are walking in faith. Most people don't understand it, don't know what it is, and don't know how to make it work. But there's got to be hindrances or enemies. Now then, the one thing you got to know, one of the enemies is you cannot go beyond knowledge in anything. So you must know what God's Word promises, or you will lose to the devil every time. Now, when I start talking to people, especially people since I have a healing school, and I teach this healing school in the Dallas-Fort Worth area a couple of Saturdays a month, the second Saturday and the fourth Saturday, all that's laid out clearly on my website, www.tlsm.org. But I've realized that most people don't know how to walk in divine health. They don't have a clue what they're supposed to do. So the enemy, he has absolutely no problem deceiving you, and he will win against you every time. Now then, if the Lord has provided this, we can do it. But he says you cannot go beyond knowledge in anything, so you must know what God's Word promises, or you will lose to the devil every time. We do not know what the plan of redemption provides, so we live far below what rightfully belongs to us, or what is ours. Now then, when you begin to understand, as you become a child of God, you didn't just become a believer in Jesus Christ. You became a possessor of a book full of magnificent promises and a book full of statements about the enemy and who he is and what he's been doing and is trying to do to us today. But I don't know how many years I read this book before I began to really believe this book meant what it said. Well, when I began to get a hold of this and learn what was rightfully mine in the atonement, and that I had been given all power and all authority over the devil, and he could do nothing to me unless I sinned, my goodness, I began to walk holy before God, and I'm telling you, I've not had a sick day of no kind in well over 20 years. It has been fun learning these magnificent promises in this owner's manual and learning how to walk in them. I am so grateful. If you'd like audio, video tapes, CDs, DVDs on this teaching, we have many audio and video teachings, many. You can give us a call. We'd be happy to send you free and postpaid a box full of audio and video teachings for you to check out what we do. And also call us at 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the website, www.tlsm.org, and there you can get a list of audio and video orders. Happy to send them to you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you and worship you and thank you for what you've done for us on that wonderful cross, that old rugged cross, that because of that cross and because of your beating, I can walk in divine health. I can walk without sin. When I sin, which I should not, but if I do, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, that I can come and confess my sin and be restored to righteousness. Now, Father, I praise you and thank you for this book. I praise you and thank you for the word as it goes out today. I ask you to bless it to everybody that hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're talking about how to fight the good fight of faith that Paul told Timothy to fight. And as we talk about this, one of the first parts of that fight of faith that you have to, in fact, it is the first part that you have to learn to fight, is to come into the kingdom of God. You have to have enough faith to come in and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now today, as you think about this, you think that God made this plan so simple that a 3 or 4 year old child can comprehend this plan. He made it so simple so that anybody can understand it. So let me read this plan to you in Romans chapter 10, and let's start with verse 8 and go through verse 13. This is exactly what the Word of God says, starting with verse 8 in Romans 10. But what does it say? The Word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that is the entire plan of salvation in one simple little set of verses. That's how simple God made the plan of salvation. What does it take? It takes faith or trust in those words written in God's Word. Believe them with your heart to the point you can confess them with your mouth. What if you don't ever come to that knowledge? It's very simple. You're going to die and go to hell. People say, you know, you're just rather dogmatic about that. You know there's got to be more than one way to get to heaven. Let me tell you, I have heard that from the devil all of my life. I've heard it that there's different ways. You name it, they tell you there's different ways to get there. But there is no different ways. There's only one way to get to heaven. Only one. And that is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And to receive that gift, each individual has to receive that gift by faith. Confess it with their mouth and believe it with their heart. And if you don't do that in faith, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to hell. Somebody said, but what if you're a Baptist? What if you're a Methodist? What if you're a Pentecostal? None of those things has anything to do with getting to heaven. It is your confession of your mouth and the believing in your heart on these promises in Romans 10 that's going to get you there. If you don't believe this book and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, that God raised him from the dead for you, if you don't believe that, you will not be able to get to heaven. There's only one road, and it's very narrow to get to heaven. Now, I heard a man make a statement just a few weeks ago, actually a few months ago. I was at one of his teachings, or actually, no, I'll take that back. I wasn't at his teaching. I got a video of the teaching. I had planned to go, and then I had to go out of town and preach myself. So I wasn't at his teaching, but I had fully planned to be there. But I heard him on one of his tapes make a statement. This man died in 1979, and he had a trip to heaven. And the Lord showed him, of course, the man's still alive today. I talked to him just the other day on the phone, so he's still very much alive and well. But he did have this experience with the Lord, and he supposedly, according to what he says, and I believe him, that he died and went to heaven. And he said, on the highway to heaven, he told himself that in the 15 minutes from an artery severed in his heart until he was where he was, that 2,000 people on earth had died during that same 15 minutes. And out of the 2,000, only 50 was going to heaven. 1,950 was going to hell. So that tells us where we are. This plan of salvation right here that is so simple that anybody, I don't care who you are, anybody could read and believe these few simple little verses in Romans 10, 8 through 13. And if you believe that, you can get saved. you can become what the Word of God calls a born-again Christian. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you can experience an entirely different life on this earth, but the life you'll experience on this earth will revolve around your knowledge of the Word of God. If you don't study this book and don't know what you can do, I can guarantee you the devil's going to beat up on you, and he's going to beat up on you in the flesh. You're going to have sickness and disease and torment and suffering and pain, and he's going to do all kinds of things to you, and it'll happen to you all because you don't know what this book says. But when you learn you have all power over him, that he's a defeated foe, and he can't do nothing to you, not a thing, that makes life fun. But that's what the Word of God says. So I read the book for years and years and years and years, and I thought, gee, if all these things are true, then why are all these people in the church allowing the enemy to beat up on them so bad? Well, I realized it was they didn't know. They were just like I had been. They didn't know these wonderful promises, or if they had heard them, they'd never become a revelation to them, and they had never resisted the enemy. Whereas James chapter 4, verse 7 clearly tells you we are to submit ourselves to God. That means to walk holy before the king in obedience to his word. Then he says, if you walk holy before me, he said, then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, how do you resist him? You take the word of God, you take quote these promises to him, and you tell him what Jesus did for you and the power and authority he gives you, and you speak out loud, and you tell him on behalf of these scriptures to get out of your life in Jesus' name. And when you do that, you're fighting this fight of faith. You're beating the devil. But the very first step in learning how to fight the fight of faith is to fight the fight of faith and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, could this be any simpler? Anybody that's out there listening today that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all you've got to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I accept this free gift that you gave me when you sent your Son to this earth 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for me and to pay the price for me so that I could take the gift he gave and I can confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you raised him from the dead for me. And because you did that for me and because Jesus did that for me, I received that by faith. And today I'm no longer a member of the kingdom of darkness, but I am now a member of the kingdom of light. I am a child of God. People say, but you've got to confess your sins. No, you don't have to confess your sins. You don't even know what your sins were as a lost person. You don't even know all the things you've done wrong. You don't have to worry about confessing sin. Just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He says, I have redeemed you from all of that. So now then, he has justified you and made you just as if you've never sinned at that point. You don't have to confess sin. But the thing about it is, from this day forth now, forget that lifestyle you lived before and start walking holy before God. That's the secret. You should become a new creature in Christ. At that instant, because your spirit, which was dead, has been made alive, and the Holy Spirit has entered you and asked the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit every day to overflowing, so you'll have the power to fight this fight of faith against the devil. And you can win it. It's a wonderful place to walk. Praise God. I just wish I'd have known this when I was a younger person. But anyway, I've learned it as an older person, and it sure has made a tremendous difference in my daily walk. It has just brought life. It just made life fun. It's so much fun. So, praise the Lord. Accept Jesus. It's the best thing that you'll ever do. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come to the Lord and tell him, say, Lord, I've let that devil deceive me far too long. I've lived out there in that world with the devil. He's beat up on me. He's beat up on my wife, beat up on my kids. He's made me sick, afflicted me, tormented me. He stole from me and everything. Today, Lord, I am accepting Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that you raised him from the dead, Father, after 3 days, and he paid the total price for my sins. So now then I accept by faith Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm now saved, and I'm set free. Now I'm going to walk, and I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to find me a good church. I'm going to start going, and I'm going to be obedient to the Word. I'm going to become a tither. I'm going to start giving into the church I go, the first 10% of all of my increase, and I'm going to study your Word, and I'm going to expect you to do exactly what you said you would do. And in John 10:10, you said, Jesus came to give me life and give me life more abundantly. So let me tell you, folks, if by faith you will start out with the very first part of this fight, the good fight of faith, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and start walking in the things you will learn, you will see the Lord begin to do great and mighty things in your life. You, as you study God's Word, you can walk in great power. I mean, He's given it to you. When you begin to get a hold of this, who you are in Christ and what you can do as a new creature in Christ, it will change everything about you. Now then, tomorrow we're going to talk more about who you are. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, after you become a child of God and you've called on the name of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So tomorrow we're going to talk about that, about who you are as a Christian and how you have to walk this walk in faith. Praise the Lord. I'd like to invite you to give us a call. We'd be happy to send you free a box of audio or video or both, or DVDs or CDs or whatever, of all kinds of our teaching. We've got many teachings. We'd be happy to send you a box full of them for you to review and look at free and postpaid. Give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or go get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can find all of our information there. Have a blessed day in Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Today, let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you and worship you, Father, for the great and wonderful things you do for us. We thank you for the Word of God, the owner's manual. We thank you, Father, that you wrote this book to the created being, since you are the creator. And it is our owner's manual, and we praise you and thank you for the book and for it telling us who we are, what we can do, what we shall not do, and the consequences if we do things that are wrong, and the blessings if we do what's right. Father, I thank you for the Word. Bless it as it goes out today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Today we're talking about a new creature. Yesterday we talked about how you become a new creature, how simple it is, the plan of salvation, that there is no other way to go to heaven except by the blood of Jesus, and accepting that by faith as a man or woman on this earth, boy or girl, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's absolutely no way to heaven except by the blood of Jesus. Now, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith in the Word of God, believing that He is truly your Lord and your Savior, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you become a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, who is the real you? Can you see me? How many parts do I have? What changed when we become a new Christian? We are spirit beings. Now, that is the part that God made in His image. Now, we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we live in a fleshly body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be presented blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see right there in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are a three-part being, a spirit, soul, and a body. So, since if you don't know you're a three-part being, it's difficult to understand what goes on. And it's even more difficult to understand the scripture. But in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Now, that spirit man, you will never know who you really are until you're born again. You don't even know you are a spirit until you're born again. The answer to man's problem exists in the spiritual realm. A lost man is liable to do or say anything because he has a fallen nature. Now, we do not get new bodies when we got saved. We have to deal with the flesh with the new man. Now, as you study the word, feeding the new man, your spirit gets strong and you begin to believe God's word, and then you begin to act upon it. In other words, you put action to your faith. Now then, the main reason that most of us live so far below what God has provided for us is because we have an enemy. Now that enemy is the devil. And he has done a very good job of keeping most of us from studying the Word of God. Our lack of knowledge is our greatest enemy to our faith. You absolutely cannot go beyond knowledge on any subject. Now, something you'll have to do after you get saved, after you begin to get knowledge of the Word of God, one of the things you'll have to learn to do is contend with the flesh. The flesh is going to be here as long as we're alive on this earth. Only the spirit is new. The body is the same, the flesh. You have to deal with the body. It just keeps on wanting to do all the things it always wanted to do. All the wrong things. Paul said his body did, so don't be surprised when your body wants to do wrong things also. I'm going to take you to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 9:27. And I'm going to read this to you, and I'll show you how that the first time I read this, not knowing that we, including Paul, was a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, I could not understand what he was trying to say here. But when I understood that he knew he was a three-part being, he was a spirit, he had a soul, and he lived in a body, then this line in 1 Corinthians 9:27 made sense to me, but until I learned that, it did not. In verse 27, Paul says, "But I," who is he talking about? "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." I thought, who is the I? You would think about that as a human being, you'd think the body. But it's not. He said, "I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection." So who is the I? The I is the spirit man. And the body is the it. Now then, if the I is the inward man and the it is his old body, then he'll have to do some things here to take control, and he'll have to renew that mind and his spirit daily with the Word of God. In other words, you'll have to feed your flesh, not flesh. You'll have to feed your spirit man the food, which is the Word of God. And if you don't feed it the Word of God, then your flesh will continuously overpower you. You will never be able to walk in what God wants you to walk in until you renew yourself with the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. Now then, how can a lack of knowledge in the area of the new birth, how can that hinder your faith? What if you don't know these things, how can that hinder your faith? Well, number one, some people believe, because they were so bad before they were saved, that God will not do anything good for them. Now, number two, some people believe God has not completely forgiven them. Now, the word here, remission, once you come to Christ and your sins are remitted, Remission means all of your past has been blotted out. You are clean before the Lord. Now, some people never get a hold of that. Now, forgiveness is all a Christian needs after he is made new. When he sins, all he has to do is use 1 John 1:9, and he gets all his sins forgiven. Because it makes no difference, makes absolutely no difference how bad you were, what you had done, where you had lived, how wicked you had been. When you came to Christ, everything you had done was put under the blood, and it was washed away, and you were made clean. You were made just as if you had never sinned a day in your life. That's how clean the blood of Jesus washes you. Now then, after you get saved, if you sin, which you're not supposed to, but if you don't start renewing your mind daily with the Word of God, even if you do, you can't fill it up that quick, you will still do things wrong. And many Christians are doing things very grossly wrong many years later. Many years later, that's why Paul told us we're not to put a new convert in the area of a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or something like this. We should always give them time to grow up. And that's why I think it's wrong. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are young or old and you become a new creature in Christ. And I don't care what your position is. I don't care if you're a celebrity, a CEO of a corporation, or if you're just a normal working guy here on the street, anything you are, you should not be put in these positions to exalt you until you've had a few years to really get into the Word and learn who you are in Christ. Because if they put you in like a Sunday school teacher or something in a church just because you were a big man in your company or something like that, you stand a very good chance of falling and making lots of mistakes and looking bad in the kingdom. So the thing to do is don't get in there too quick. Study the Word, spend time with God, and then renew your mind and yourself daily and begin to understand who you are in Christ. Now then, because once you get saved, all you got to do is, if you sin after you get saved, and everybody will, you're not supposed to, but you will. And if you do sin, then 1 John 1:9 says you can confess your sins, and he is righteous and just to forgive your sin and to restore you to fellowship. Now, as newborn babes in Christ, we must desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby, because 1 Peter 2:2 says so. In Isaiah 43:25 and Hebrews 8:12, it says he will not remember our sins anymore when we get saved. When we get saved, all of our past sins, that doesn't mean your sins that you're going to commit in the future. It means those past sins, that all of your sins are remitted and put under the blood. Now then, if you sin after you become a born-again Christian, you can come to the Lord, you can ask him to forgive you, according to 1 John 1:9. He will forgive you, but he tells you to go and sin no more. That is the secret. You want to go and sin no more. So now then, so if you remember your past, in other words, if the Lord forgives you all of your past and all of your past sins, and he will, so if you remember your past or let the devil bring it back up, you will never be strong in faith. You must realize that you're washed in the blood, you're clean, you're pure, you're more than a conqueror, you can do all things through Christ, you have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of light, you've now just been changed from a child of the devil to a child of God, and you're clean and pure in God's sight. So you need to stay that way, and you need to begin to study the Word and learn who you are in Christ so you can do what the Word of God says we can do. So how do you get this? How do you get there? Well, how do we understand who we are in Christ? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, a lack of knowledge of God's Word is the greatest hindrance to your faith. Well, how do you get faith? By hearing the Word. By hearing the Word. So, as you learn how to get faith, you will want to be engrossed and involved in the Word of God so you can grow in faith. I'd like to invite you to give me a call, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll be happy to send you a box of free and postpaid audio and video tapes and CDs or DVDs, whatever you want. Also, you can get to us on the web if you go to www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. There you can see where we're going to be speaking. You can order tapes, select the ones you want, and they're all free and postpaid. Have a blessed day in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you and praise you and thank you for the beautiful day. We ask you to bless the Word of God as it goes out today. Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to people as they hear your mighty word, that we may know and understand more about who we are and what we can do in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, thank you for the word. I rebuke the enemy and command him not to steal a word out of anybody's mind or heart today. Now, Lord, thank you for revealing your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing on today to talk about understanding who we are in Christ. As we continue to understand about who we are as children of the King, the first thing you have to know is to, after you become a born-again Christian, is that you have to understand how to get faith. So Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, knowledge comes by hearing, faith comes by hearing, understanding comes by hearing, and by revelation from the Holy Ghost, then it looks like the best thing for us to do as Christians is to get into our owner's manual and start reading this thing and studying it. Now, don't read this book like a novel. You read this book like an owner's manual. I mean, this book is an owner's manual. You read it like you'd read a manual about how you're going to work on your car, how you're going to work on your dishwasher or your clothes washer. You read this book, it tells you what to do, what not to do. It tells you what makes things work and what makes things not work. So then faith or knowledge comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, a lack of knowledge of God's Word is the greatest hindrance to your faith. You can't walk in faith or power with God if you don't know these things, because He is a faith God, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. So how do you get faith? The Word of God has its own answer, by hearing the Word. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Now, what did He say? Who are we? We are the righteousness of God in Him. Well, who's in Him? That's Christ. If once He saved us, we become the righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus, you have redemption. Now, Hebrews 9:12 says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." He obtained eternal redemption for you and I. Now, Romans 10:9-10 tells us that what we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, it will bring the blessing of God. So, let's look up here in the scripture some of the places where it says, you are in Him, in Christ, in whom, and then let's begin to confess, this is who I am. This is what is mine in Him, and your faith level will begin to increase. Now then, then you will begin to see and believe God's word about healing of your body. The scripture says, what are our redemptive rights as a Christian? Well, let's see what the scripture says about this. What are our redemptive rights as a Christian? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now think about that. Verse 7, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now then, let's kind of take these apart. From what are we redeemed? Number one, from sin. Number two, from the hand of the enemy, Satan, and it gives us authority over Satan. Now, if you begin to understand that you've been redeemed from sin. Now, if you've been redeemed from sin, that means you don't have to sin no more. In fact, Paul tells us over and over and over, and several of the other apostles do also, that we are not to sin anymore. We are to stop sinning totally, completely. John told us that. Peter told us that. Paul told us that. Over and over and over, they said we are to die to sin and live unto righteousness. Now, if we have been redeemed from sin, then why should we go out and sin anymore? We're not supposed to. If you do mess up somewhere along the line, you have that scripture we talked about in 1 John 1:9 where you can confess your sin. And if you confess that sin, the Lord will forgive you and restore you to fellowship. But don't have to confess sin every day. You know, stay free of sin. Walk holy before God. And if you do, then you won't open no doors to the devil. He won't have no legal right to attack you. And then when you come to the Lord, you can come to him in faith and ask him for anything, and he'll do it for you. But you must be free from sin. But you were redeemed from sin when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you also were redeemed from the head of the enemy, which is Satan. And also you were given authority over him. In other words, he has to now be subject to you. When you tell him what to do, him and his demons, they have to do it. So when I learned that's one of the greatest things. I mean, of course, there's so many wonderful things I've learned about the Word of God. But you talk about making a difference in the way I've done business. When I realized that I had power over the devil, when a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of depression, a spirit of rejection, a spirit of fear, any of those things tried to come and put themselves on me, I just turned and in the name of Jesus, I said, it is written. Luke 10:19-20, you have to be subject to me. I have been given all power over you. So according to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, Satan, I demand that you take that spirit of fear or that spirit of strife or whatever it is, and you take it and go, and don't you come back to my house in the name of Jesus. Now, when I realized and I learned that I had power over the enemy to tell him what to do and that he had to flee, I mean, that's just like he tries to put a headache on you. You tell him, take that spirit of pain and leave you and don't come back. I've seen headaches leave by the dozens. I don't even know how many. I've seen instantly healed. Carpal tunnel, that's a spirit of infirmity. You speak to it in the name of Jesus, and it goes away. I don't know how many people I've seen Jesus heal when I would speak to that spirit and command it to leave. Now then, these are things that you must learn and learn how to do. Now, not only have you been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, Satan, and given authority over the devil, but that devil, he has to be subject to you. Now, I want to give you a few scriptures here that will confirm what I'm telling you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. In fact, verse 18, Jesus said, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So somewhere way back yonder, Satan was cast out of heaven, and he came to the earth. Today, Satan is bound to the earth. He's running around on the earth. Somewhere, he's on the earth. But you and I, according to Luke 10:19 and 20, Jesus said he has given you and me all authority and all power over the enemy, and he shall in no wise hurt us as Christians. But most Christians don't know that, so he has a pretty good heyday with most of us. And then in Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus triumphed over him, completely disarmed him, defeated him, and triumphed over him completely nailing the cross, nailing the law to the cross, and taking away Satan's legal right to accuse us. So it's amazing when these scriptures become a revelation to you. And Hebrews 2:14 says it took away him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus took all power away from him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And then 1 John 3:8, it says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, he destroyed the works of the devil. So when you begin to get a hold of these promises, you will learn that our Savior completely defeated Satan 2,000 years ago, stripped him of all of his power and armament, and you and I don't have to put up with that beast no more. Not at all do we have to put up with him. We have been given power over him. We can beat him. He has already been beaten. So we don't have to yield him in sickness and disease, pain, suffering, or nothing. By faith, we can command him to leave, and he has to go away. Also, it says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. In Galatians 3:13-14, it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now then, again, this requires that you know this. When you get saved, you had to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith in His Word. Now, most people, that's as far as they'll ever go. Most people never learn. Most Christians that I've come in contact with never knows these other things. But through a dedicated study of the Word of God, you will learn that that was just the very beginning of Christ saving you. When you get a hold of that, that is the first step in the plan of salvation. After that, you're supposed to be a warrior, and you're supposed to go. You're supposed to learn who you are, what you can do, who the enemy is, the power you have over him, and you're supposed to learn how to walk in power over the enemy, free of sin, free of sickness and disease, and it is absolutely a wonderful place when you get a hold of all this, realizing that when the devil does come, and he will come, and he will put symptoms upon you, he will put pain and suffering upon you, he'll put all kinds of things upon you, trying to get you to yield to him. But you don't have to yield to him. Now then, if you're living in some kind of sin and you're breaking all of God's rules, then you're in trouble, because the devil's there because God sent him. And he says he does in his word. Now, if you don't love the Lord and serve him and put him first, he will send the devil against you to attack you. And then you will come up under what the Bible calls the curse of God. Now, when the curse of God comes upon you, you're in trouble. You don't want to live there. You want to walk in obedience to God's Word. Now then, if you will walk in obedience to His Word and study His Word, and after not only in Galatians 3:13-14 are we redeemed from the curse of the law, but that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. Well, what in the world are those promises? Well, let me tell you, the summary of the Abrahamic covenant is clearly laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And that will tell you what we can receive by faith. We'll talk about that tomorrow. If you'd like some teachings on all of these things, give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you a box of audio, video teachings, free and postpaid. And if you want to go to our website, www.tlsm.org, there you can learn all about our healing schools. We teach two a month, and also where we're going to be speaking, and we'll be able to send you free and postpaid audio and video tapes. Have a blessed day in Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you and worship you for the Word of God. Thank you for this magnificent book, this owner's manual that you've sent to us to show us what we can do and who we are in Christ. Lord, we are so grateful for what you've done through the blood of your Son, how you've set us free, and by his stripes we are healed. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful things that you've given us, all things that pertain to life and godliness while we're here on this earth. We are so grateful you laid them out in this wonderful book. Now bless the word as it goes out today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Yesterday we were talking about the things we were redeemed from. I've kind of, as we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, providing we know it. These things are ours by faith. Now then, some of the things we're redeemed from through the plan of salvation is we're redeemed from sin. We are set free from sin. And then number two, we're redeemed from the hand of the enemy, which is Satan. And we are given authority over him in the name of Jesus. So we don't have to put up with the devil no more. We covered all those things in detail yesterday. We're also redeemed from the curse of the law. Now then, if we're redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us by faith, we wonder what this curse was that we are redeemed from. Well, most people don't know about the curse of the law. Or I guess they don't. Most of them I talk to don't. I know I certainly didn't. But the curse that we're redeemed from is clearly laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting with verse 15, and goes all the way through verse 61. I'm only going to read just a few of these verses, just probably a half a dozen, something like that. I'm going to start out in Deuteronomy 28:15. And show you what you're redeemed from, providing you know it, and you're able to claim this breaking of the curse by faith in God's word. In Deuteronomy 28:15 it says, "But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Now, what's going to bring these curses we're going to read about upon you is your disobedience to do what God told you under the law. Now then, this is what you're redeemed from. Now, if you don't know this, you're in trouble because these curses will follow you all the days of your life and they will beat up on you. It says in verse 16, "Cursed shall you be in the city and cursed shall you be in the country." So it doesn't make any difference where you are, city, country, nation, or anything, if you're disobedient to the Word of God and you don't know the promises of God and you're walking disobedient to them, then you're under the curse. Now, it says, "Cursed also shall be your basket," which is your food, "and your kneading bowl." That's also your food. So when you eat things, you're going to be cursed, which is going to bring sickness and disease upon your body. Then it says, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks." Now then, if you're under the curse and you don't know you've been redeemed from the curse, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body." What is that? Your children. "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body." Your children are the fruit of your body. Now then, what does it mean to have cursed children? Well, let's say that you've been sinning. Let's say that you've been living in sin, committing sex outside of wedlock, or who knows what all kind of sins you've been involved in. And let's say that since God is going to curse your children, that gives the devil legal right to come and afflict your child. So let's say that you have a child, and maybe the child was born normal. Maybe it was born mentally or physically handicapped. But if it was, it was because of the curse. Is because Satan had legal claim somehow, some way, and he come and afflicted your child. Now then, that child could be several years old. In fact, I might tell you right here a story, just to confirm what I'm telling you, that there is a woman in my church that one of her relatives, I don't remember exactly what the relationship was, but one of her relatives, she belonged to another denomination. We're non-denominational. But I used to be a Baptist, and this girl was a Baptist, and she didn't know these things. And so she had been living with a young boy out of wedlock. She got pregnant and brought a little girl into the world. And, of course, by being disobedient to God's word, they were under the curse. So by being under the curse, being disobedient, living in sexual immorality before marriage will put you under a curse from God. Well, she was under one. It had given the devil legal right to the little girl. Well, within a matter of a few days, the little girl's liver was failing, and they said that she would die within a few more days. Well, this woman that goes to my church, which is, knows these things because I've taught these in church, she went over to her relative's house and told her that she must repent and move out from that boy and make God a promise that she would never have any kind of sexual activity out of wedlock again. And the girl told her, well, what's going to happen if I do? She said, then we'll be able to get your little girl healed. But said, as long as that curse remains, then as long as the sin remains, the curse remains, and we cannot get the little girl healed. And so the relative believed. She repented, told God she was sorry for bringing this little girl into the world out of wedlock situation, and promised the Lord she would not live with nobody else anymore unless she was married to them first. Well, this took away or broke the power of the curse. So they claimed by faith the breaking, being redeemed from the curse of the law, and then went over to this little girl, which was just a matter of 3 or 4 days old by this time, and doctors said would die shortly. Then they took this magnificent promise in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, where Jesus said, and these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils, and then you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So this lady in my church went over there to that hospital after this girl's sins were repented of, laid hands on this, she was under oxygen, and she actually couldn't touch the little girl, but she touched the glass. And she laid her hands on that glass and commanded that devil to leave that little girl and spoke the healing power of Jesus into her, according to Mark 16, 17, and 18. And in 1 hour, that little girl was healed. That liver began to work perfect, and she was out of the hospital the next day. And today that little girl is over a year old. In fact, that happened in October, I believe it was, the last year. So this is November. So she's over a year old. I've seen her several times in church since then. And that goes to show you what happens when you repent. You claim, as a child of God, you claim the redemption from this curse, which says that if you're disobedient, he will curse your children. Well, the blessings, which we're going to talk about a little later, and it may be Monday, the blessing says that if you're obedient and do everything he tells you to do in his word, he will bless your children. So that's where we want to live, under the blessings and not the curses. Now, but here he says in verse 18, if you're disobedient, this is the curse that you're redeemed from, if you know it as a child of God. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Then he says in verse 19, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. So that pretty well covers all the time, 24/7, everywhere. And then verse 20 says, the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. Now see, when you're wicked and you forsake God, he, the Lord, will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. Now actually what happens is the devil has legal right to run because of the word of God, and the devil is the one that comes and puts this on you. But of course the Lord has to allow it. You know, he's in control. The Lord defeated the forces of darkness 2,000 years ago, and all power in heaven and in earth has been given to him, and the devil cannot touch you unless he says okay. So you've got to realize, if the devil's coming by your house, you're being tested. In fact, people say, God wouldn't let the devil test me. Oh, yes, he will. He's told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, let me tell you, if Jesus will let Satan sift Peter like wheat, he'll let him do it to you, because what he's doing with you and me, he's building our faith, which is more precious to him than gold. So I guarantee the Lord will let the enemy put you to the test. But anyway, And then in the next verse, in fact, I'm going to stop right there at verse 20 and go on down to 59 and 60 and 61, because there's just so many verses there. It talks about all those bad things that's going to happen to you if you're under the curse. But in verse 59, it's Deuteronomy 15, Deuteronomy 28, I mean, verse 59, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring up on you until you are destroyed. Now just think, Christ has redeemed us from all this, but we have to receive it by faith. It is not automatic, just like your salvation. It was not automatic. You had to believe and confess. You had to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth to be saved. Well, the thing about it is, you must know you're redeemed from these curses also. Now, if you confess all your sins, once you get saved, all your sins were redeemed and put under the blood. So now then, if you'll continue to walk holy before God, then by faith you can claim the redemption from these curses, and the devil will not be able to get through to you, and you can walk in total freedom from all sickness and disease. What a wonderful place to walk. Praise the Lord. I mean, I didn't know these things for 40 plus years of my life. I let the devil beat up on me so many times. But when I finally got a hold of these things about 20-something years ago and began to believe these things, praise the Lord, and I begin to claim that I'm redeemed from the curse, and by faith I am healed and I'm saved. And when I begin to get a hold of that and really claim it by faith, according to the Word of God, all demonic spirits, sickness, disease, all these things went away from me, and I have had the privilege to walk in divine health for the last 20 years of my life. It is so wonderful to be almost 66 years old and hadn't had a sick day in over 20 years and still can go and work down most young people that I know. I praise God for that privilege. Well, we'll continue on next week. Praise the Lord. Invite you to give us a call for audio and video teachings on these subjects. We send them out free and postpaid. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also, you can go to the web, and there you can order whatever you want to under audio orders, and it's www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And we praise the Lord for the privilege to teach His Word. Have a blessed weekend.